Doctors Gravenstein and Majid have received compensation from Sanofi Pasteur for this podcast.
Hello, I'm Stefan Gravenstein, director at the Center for Geriatric Medicine and interim director for geriatrics at University Hospitals Case Medical Center and professor of medicine at Case Western Reserve University School of Medicine. Welcome to our podcast. We're going to focus on influenza, comorbid conditions such as heart and lung diseases and diabetes, and the importance of identifying and immunizing patients with comorbidities who are at high risk for influenza-related complications, hospitalization, and death. I'm often asked why influenza has such a high impact on those with comorbidities. Well, let me start off with just talking about some of those comorbidities. When we talk about people at highest risk for complications, we typically think of chronic conditions such as lung disease or metabolic conditions such as diabetes or cardiovascular disorders. What these chronic conditions have in common is either a mechanical problem with clearing influenza virus, so the virus stays there and replicates in the system longer and they can't cough it out as well. And then the second aspect of this, those with advanced age, those individuals have difficulty clearing virus because as we get older, our ability to generate an immune response changes just by virtue of aging. If in addition to aging, there are other conditions that impair immune responsiveness, then we don't respond as well to either natural infection or vaccine that protects us from natural infection. We make less antibody, and if we make antibody, the antibody we make is often not quite as high quality. So the host factors such as aging or underlying diseases are really critical in determining part of that response to influenza infection. As we get older, we tend to have cytokines that might be elevated. Examples of this would be IL-6, IL-4, interferon gamma, and TNF-alpha. All of those can make us more likely to clot, and so we have underlying other risk conditions that are related to being in a prothrombotic state. These markers go up with age, and when you get infected, they elevate, and they stay elevated longer than in healthier, younger adults or people who don't have those underlying conditions. So now I've talked briefly about the inflammatory state, I've talked about immune senescence, and I've talked about viral clearance as main factors in our ability to protect ourselves from influenza. So when we have thought about the outcomes in these individuals, they get infected and their inflammation lasts longer, and their illness lasts longer, they'll be coughing typically for more weeks, and then they'll have late effects, which could be cardiac outcomes or stroke outcomes that typically we don't think about with a respiratory infection, but clearly are associated with those respiratory infections. Finally, a last factor with age comes frailty, and people who are frail of any age need to live in more structured environments at some point. And if those structured environments put them in a setting where they're in contact with more people, such as a nursing home, their risk for being exposed to influenza goes up, and so the risk of bad outcomes is in part related to just being exposed to the virus in the first place. When we think about those, this it's something we can measure. We looked at a nursing home population and the effect of influenza in that population and demonstrated that not only do these people end up being hospitalized, but also their functional activities go down at the peak of flu season, apparently related to the presence of influenza more so than anything else. So influenza really has a broad impact far beyond just giving somebody a respiratory infection. I think this is a good moment to segue into another aspect of this. Influenza is a trigger for cardiovascular and cerebrovascular disease. Dr. Majid, maybe you'd like to talk about this some.
Thank you very much, Stefan. That was an outstanding introduction to this very, very important medical issue. This is Dr. Mohammed Majid. I'm a senior research scientist at the Texas Heart Institute in Houston, Texas. I'd like to follow by bringing to your attention the fact that the influenza is a major trigger for cardiovascular and cerebrovascular diseases. In fact, over the past couple of decades, we have seen a growing body of evidence showing that influenza can trigger multiple varieties of adverse cardiac and stroke-related outcomes. Multiple epidemiologic studies have shown that the peak months of mortality and morbidity due to cardiovascular and cerebrovascular events in adults more than 50 years old actually coincides with the annual influenza epidemics. This suggests that influenza infections is a major contributor to the well-known excess mortality that we observe in the elderly patients during the winter months. A very large study by our group in 35,000 patients in which we confirmed the cardiovascular events by using autopsy data showed every single epidemic of influenza coinciding with the rise in the acute respiratory disease activities. We see a sharp rise in the number of people who die of ischemic heart disease and acute myocardial infarct. In fact, we have seen this in our studies, which has been autopsy confirmed, and also in multiple other studies from around the world in different population, in different settings, all of them suggesting that the flu is a major trigger for heart attack. And why is that? There are multiple mechanisms by which influenza can affect cardiovascular disease. As we know, our approach to atherosclerosis and myocardial infarction have changed considerably over the past 20 years. We now see atherosclerosis as an active inflammatory disease. And here is where influenza can come in and play a major role in the pathogenesis of atherosclerosis and its acute complications. In fact, multiple studies in animals have shown that influenza infection leads to exaggerated inflammation and destabilization of the already present plaques in the arterial system. This is the picture that we see in autopsies of people who die of sudden cardiac death. Exaggerating the inflammation at the arterial level, we predispose patients to having an acute coronary syndrome. There are other mechanisms involved, including increased prothrombotic effects, increased hemodynamic stress, such as having fever, tachycardia, demand ischemia, hypoxia, and increased blood viscosity associated with the influenza infection, and also severe endothelial dysfunction that we have seen with influenza infection. Our animal studies also suggested that influenza virus plays a direct role in pathogenesis of these cardiovascular events, primarily by directly infecting the cardiac tissues and aorta by the influenza virus, which we could culture in high titers from these tissues. The next question is that if influenza triggers heart attacks and strokes, does influenza vaccination prevent these events? This is a very important question from clinical and public health aspects. The studies by our group and others around the world have shown that influenza vaccination can lead to a significant reduction in cardiovascular events in high-risk people, in people of different ages, both men and women, in primary prevention settings, in secondary prevention settings, and the reduction in events is at different levels. Multiple studies have shown that influenza vaccination is associated with a decrease in rate of unstable angina, myocardial infarction, sudden cardiac death, reduction in hospitalization due to cardiac causes, reduction in hospitalization due to exacerbation of the congestive heart failure, and the multiple composite outcomes in different studies. Actually, we have a large number of studies with different designs, starting with small case-controlled studies and large prospective cohort studies, and several randomized clinical trials all suggesting the same, that influenza vaccination is associated with reduction in cardiovascular events. Based on this data, the American Heart Association and American College of Cardiology have updated their secondary prevention guidelines and recommend annual influenza vaccination in all patients with cardiac diseases in absence of contraindications. These cardiac diseases include atherosclerotic vascular diseases, including heart attack and stroke, peripheral vascular disease, atherosclerotic aortic diseases, and carotid artery diseases. Despite this, the vaccination rate remains low and much under the optimal level. In cardiovascular patients in the United States, the vaccination rate is unfortunately around 60% only. this underutilization of the influenza vaccine in the cardiac patients have not improved over the past 10 years. And this is where the role of clinicians is very important. That's because it has been shown that one primary reason for patients not receiving the influenza vaccine is that they simply do not know that they are at high risk for developing influenza complications. So this is imperative for the clinicians and healthcare workers to provide the information to the patients based on their clinical risk factors and the comorbidities that they have. They are at high risk for developing influenza complications and they need to receive the vaccine. Here I'd like to ask my colleague, Dr. Gravenstein, to discuss the other guidelines that have been recommending the vaccine for other high-risk populations.
Influenza vaccine is recommended in the U.S. for everybody 6 months of age and older. And it is clear, as you heard from Dr. Majid, that influenza vaccination is associated with more than just a reduction in respiratory infection. It is also associated with reduced mortality from acute myocardial infarction and stroke, reduced morbidity, and less catastrophic disability among older adults. So Dr. Majid, there's a vaccine that has four times the antigen of the standard dose vaccine, and we already know that this vaccine generates a much higher antibody response in adults 65 years of age and older.
Currently, we have this vaccine available, and FDA has approved it for the elderly in the United States.